listening to Truth To You Radio on truth2u.org. That's truth2u.org, where you can sign up for the weekly newsletter and also keep up to date via iTunes, Facebook, and Twitter. I'm Jono. And honey, hey, you're not in the studio. Where are you?
I'm in another part of the house today.
We've had an argument. No, we haven't.
No, we just thought we would...
We're experimenting with technology for the sake of audio quality. How's that? There you go. Hey, g'day to Brendan, who's also in another place. He's in Tanzania. How about that? G'day to Brendan. And wherever you may be around the world, it's good to have your company. Once again, it is time for Cultured Pearls with the Cultured Karite. G'day, Deborah.
Howdy, y'all. How are y'all doing?
Doing really very good. Well.
Oh,
doing
thanks. Thanks for having me again. Thank you.
It's always a pleasure to have you. What are we talking about this week?
Well, this is going to really shock you, but I really want to talk about fermentation.
Really? I was wondering when we were finally going to get to this.
I know. It's like, I've gone all the way around it. No, seriously, I do want to talk about fermentation, but not on the level that you're thinking of. Exactly.
Okay. Well, listen, hang on. Before we do, I've got a question for you, actually.
Okay.
Because a couple of weeks ago, we all got very, very excited about, we all watched that movie, Fat, Sick, and Nearly Dead, a Joe Cross film, Aussie guy, Joe Cross, and we just thought it was marvelous. We all got our juices out of the cupboard, or we bought juices, and we frantically juiced and drank the juice. You are going to go on a juice fast, which is drinking nothing but the juice that you produce from your juicer and not eating anything. Now, that was 2 weeks ago. How have you gone?
I got to about day 7, and it got to where I would go to the juicer and take my vegetables, you know, and things I was going to juice, and I would take a bite, and then I would take another bite, and then I would take another bite. And my things didn't end up in the juicer, and I just would stand there and eat them. And I thought, what are you doing? So I came to the conclusion that my body was trying to possibly tell me something. And so what we've done is we still juice. We're still juicing every day, but we're incorporating the juice, like say for instance with dinner. I have a big salad for dinner and a glass of juice. So I have a health point that I'm at a really good point. And so my body's really saying, you know, I want the fiber and I want the other nutrients that are in the vegetables. But I found myself every time standing there and I would start to put something in. I thought, well, I'll just take a bite of this. Well, I'll just take another bite of this. And, you know, and I was taking chunks out of cucumbers and, you know, bites off of celery. And I thought, wait a minute, what's going on here?
Yeah.
So I really only made it 7 days. And so I've been back to eating, you know, our regular diet, which is a lot of, you know, whole foods and fermented vegetables. But we are juicing a couple of times a day and having that to drink with our, like, breakfast, lunch, or dinner, whatever.
So you went, let me get this straight. So you went 7 days straight with nothing but the juice that you were making.
Yes.
That's right. That's pretty good. So you went on a 7-day juice fast. And then after 7 days, you started incorporating eating that which comes from plants. And after a little while, a few more days of that, you were back to your usual diet with obviously fermented food and kefir and just your regular diet. So now how do you feel?
Oh, really, really good. And I lost weight. And I actually lost more inches. And that's one thing I've been noticing this whole time that we've changed our diet for the last 10 months is I've lost far more inches than actually weight on the scales. And I have to say, during that 7-day juice fast, I didn't stop drinking my kefir. I so believe in the kefir that, I kept that up. But I believe that what's happened to me because of drinking the kefir is that, and one reason I've lost so many more inches than actually pounds on the scale, is that I'm keeping my protein level up, which means I'm keeping my muscle level up.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not having muscle wasting or losing muscle. I think my bones are stronger because of my higher calcium intake now. And so the scales aren't moving quite as fast as I would like for them to. I've lost close to 30 pounds. which is not bad, but I've lost like 2.5 sizes so far in clothes. Maybe, you know, 3 sizes in some clothes, but 2.5 in some others. So
sure.
I'm not complaining.
No. Wow. Well, that's fantastic. Yeah. And, well, I will, report that we got our Ronson Super Juicer out of the cupboard, and we started using it. We started using it so much, Deb, that it blew up and smoke started coming out of it. So
I heard that.
So we put that aside.
Juicing, not smoking.
Yeah, that's right. So we went out and we looked for juicers, and you know what? I have to admit, I succumbed to the advertising. Well, it's not really advertising, but it was the one that Joe used on the on. I mean, come on, it's so shiny and it goes round and round, and you know. And I just thought I've got to get one.
It's awesome.
It's awesome. It's like you could grind up trees and cover your garden with wood chips in that thing. The power in it, the power is just so overwhelming. And so, I mean, you can drop whole apples into it and just they're gone.
Yes.
And I mean, that's, as a guy, I'm impressed. And so we got one of those. I have just been, we've been juicing. And mostly for us, we've been doing the, you know, the carrot and apples as the primary ingredients of our juice.
Oh, and the celery.
And the celery, but primarily probably the carrots is the most, but celery and apple as well. But yesterday, honey, what did I put in?
Beetroot. Yeah.
Okay. Well, I think in the States you call them beets, right?
Yes.
Okay, so I put in a beetroot, and it was as if nothing else had any color. This was the only thing with color. It just totally overrode the color of the juice. But it was delicious. Just one small beetroot in 2 liters of juice that we made, primarily with carrot and with apple. But the beet was an excellent addition. I'm going to be doing that a whole lot more. And I got to say, I feel a whole lot better for it. And I had some this morning, and we had some yesterday. We have also been eating. We haven't been doing the juice fast. We've been eating our regular diet, which we're pretty happy with. But adding juicing into that diet, I'm absolutely certain
it's
beneficial.
Like we said last time, it's basically for us, it's for the nutrient value, which I'm really happy about, especially because it's winter here at the moment, and you know, just getting that extra bit of a boost for immunity is a good thing.
Mm. Right. You do need that in the winter, very definitely.
Happy with that. Goody. There you go. Now, fermenting.
Well, we'll get to that, but because I'm not going to talk about it in the normal way, but
you're gonna talk about it in a funny accent,
in an abnormal way. I'm going to go like the long way around to get to my point. But Jono, this is all your fault. You blew me away with that article about the place where you live that has the highest rate of diabetes in the whole central west part of Australia.
In that's right. Well, I think the central west of New South Wales, but if I can remember correctly, now just fill me in, because it was something like, that's right. It was the rate of diabetes, 1 in 20 people are diagnosed. And that's diagnosed. There are more people who are undiagnosed, undoubtedly, but 1 in 20 are diagnosed with diabetes. Clearly more than that, far more than that, are obese and pre-diabetic at least. And you certainly, I hate to say it, but you certainly notice it when you go wandering around in town. But I was surprised to see that the country town where we live had a very high rate. And we were so, do you know what? We were so shocked at that we went and bought a couple more copies of Fat, Sick, and Nearly Dead. We donated one to the local library because, and I wanted to go and, you know, set up a juice stand in the local arcade, because it's just clearly when you go to the supermarkets and you watch what people are shoveling into their trolleys and going out with, you think, oh my goodness, people are so, they need to know that it's about diet.
Right, they do. Oh, well, and let me just put a little thing in here, that a trolley in Australia is a shopping cart in the United States, just in case anybody was wondering.
Thanks, Dave.
I'm translating for you. But you're absolutely right. I actually have that article in front of me, and at first when I read the article, I thought, oh, you know, that's really bad. Well, I went online and looked up how many people are in your area, in the Cowra area. There's There's only 10,000 people there.
Oh, it's so embarrassing. Why do we have to bring this up?
I couldn't believe it. I was so shocked. I'm sitting here reading this article about right where you live, and I thought, okay, well, you know, this is a metropolitan area. And I went online, and I thought, oh, my gosh, there's only 10,000 people there, and they're all, well, not all, but obviously I know five who are in great health. But but it made it absolutely worse to understand that the population is so small. Mm. I couldn't believe it. I have the article still in front of me. But, of course, you know me, I thought, wow, you know, if that's so bad in such a small area in Australia. And it says right here, diabetes is Australia's fastest growing chronic disease, with one person diagnosed every 5 minutes.
I know. That is amazing.
Oh, my goodness.
Every five minutes is the fastest growing disease. It's escalating, and it is about diets, and it's about ignorance of what people are eating and the effect that it has on the body.
We're talking specifically about type 2 diabetes.
Right.
Yeah.
I'll say something about type 1 in a minute, but specifically this article was addressing type 2 diabetes, which is the kind that's, onset in adults. However, that rate is growing in children under 18. Their rate of type 2 diabetes is now growing exponentially in children.
Can I interrupt you? Because when you mentioned children, it's even gotten to the point where they're now asking the question here in Australia, and I read an article about this recently, and I think it was in the ABC, that they are considering, and I believe have even removed children from their parents, because it is the parents that go out and purchase the food, it is the parents who supply the children with food, it is the children who are becoming obese, and they see that as a form of physical abuse, and they remove the children, and I hope they educate the parents and the children in the process. I don't know. That's a very controversial measure to be taking. But when you're facing an epidemic like this, you know, is that the right way to go about it? But you're right. Obesity in children is also an increasing statistic.
It is, and it's just terrible. One of the things in this article there were so many things, I was just so shocked. But at the end, it says that the Australia Diabetes Council is urging all Australians to be aware of simple changes that can be made to prevent heart attacks and strokes because of diabetes. And I thought, simple changes. Well, that launched me. that launched me. So the statistics I have here that I want to give are from places in the United States like the National Institutes of Health and the National Cancer Institute and other major scientific facilities. And they state the statistics that 75% of cancer is preventable with diet and lifestyle changes.
I believe that.
That's higher than I thought. I know that, you know, there are some cancers they say or they think maybe genetic, and there's certainly a lot of cancers that are environmental and chemically induced. Smoking would be one of those, and chemical exposure. But 75% of cancer is preventable with diet and lifestyle changes. That really shocked me. So I went on to look for the type 2 diabetes statistics, and almost 100% of type 2 diabetes is preventable with diet and lifestyle changes.
That is mind-blowing, though,
isn't
it?
That's so crazy.
Isn't that mind-blowing? When it's so 1 in 20 are diagnosed with type 2 diabetes here in our country town, where we are here in New South Wales, Australia, and one person is diagnosed every 5 minutes here in Australia. I would believe in the Western world, it's probably one of the most rapidly growing diseases in our Western culture. And yet it is 100% avoidable. That's what you're telling me?
Almost. That statistic would probably be 95 to 98%. It's preventable with diet and lifestyle changes, and also it can be reversed to a great degree, and in some cases cured.
Good heavens.
So,
simply by diet and lifestyle.
Simply, mm-hmm. Yep. So, death from heart attack and stroke is almost 95% preventable with diet and lifestyle changes.
Premature.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes, yes. Now, Jonah, this is where we give our disclaimer that we're not medical people. And for goodness sakes, what we want people to do is to realize the statistics and not become one. That's what we're after. What we read is what we know, and we're passing the information on so that you, the listener, can go and research and not become one of these statistics.
Amen.
And you can live a healthier lifestyle. You can live longer. You can, help with what you've got wrong now with the doctor's help as well. You know, don't stop taking your medicine. Don't do anything. But, you know, change some of your diet and your lifestyle. That's what we're promoting. And look into some of these things so that you don't become a statistic. Well, you know me, I still kept looking. I still kept looking at things. And so I found some interesting information. And normally, if I'm talking about kefir or fermented foods, the probiotic, what I call the good gut bacteria that the probiotics, you know, put into your system and into your gut, the really good, you know, flora and fauna, the scientists call that microbiota. And actually, I guess that can, you know, refer to all of the microbiotic, bugs that are in our system, because we have good bugs and bad bugs. So I'm reading all of this, and which I really appreciate Dr. Mark for sending me this article about older people. And it says gut microbiota composition correlates with diet and health in the elderly. And so it was a really good article about, you know, the elderly in some of these institutions, their gut bacteria is terrible, and their health suffers, you know, from that, because they're, you know, the foods that they're given in a lot of these institutions, which evidently hospitals too, they don't lead to the good microbiota composition. They lead to a poorer microbiota composition. And their health will suffer because of it. Mm-hmm. And so I thought, well, that's a great article, and I understand that. So I kept looking. So here's a scientific peer-reviewed website, and it's PLOSONE, PLOSONE. And the big headline was, gut microbiota in human adults with type 2 diabetes differs from non-diabetic adults. And I went, what?
Yeah, there's a connection.
Well, what's interesting is there's this man named Doug Kaufman who's written several books. I have three of his books. And he's been saying for about 40 years, at the top of his lungs, he's been saying that bad gut bacteria, candida, the ones that we know the names of, but in general, bad gut bacteria. And there's in the lower intestine, it's called, I think, SIBOS, cysbosis or something like that. These bad gut bacterias, he has said for years, you know, they cause this, they cause that. And he has said they're going to find out one day that diabetes is from bad gut bacteria.
Yeah.
And, you know, I sat there, and you won't believe what I found in scientific websites and in scientific papers. They are discovering now that diabetes is, you know, they're not saying 100% yet, but you wouldn't believe the information and the studies that are showing that type 2 diabetes is a direct correlation with bad gut bacteria. And it's just amazing. Let me just read this real quick, this one article. The background says, recent evidence suggests that there's a link between metabolic diseases and bacterial populations in the gut. The aim of this study was to assess the differences between the composition of the intestinal microbiota in humans with type 2 diabetes and non-diabetic persons as control. The researchers found that type 2 diabetes is linked with compositional differences in gut bacteria. The diabetic group had reduced proportions of, I probably won't pronounce this right, but Firmicutes and Clostridia bacteria compared with non-diabetics. In addition, the ratios of bacteriodetes to Firmicutes were positively correlated with reduced glucose tolerance. There, and glucose tolerance means, you know, that you can't, your sugars are going to shoot up. Mm. The results of this study indicate that type 2 diabetes in humans is associated with compositional changes in intestinal microbiota. The study authors conclude the level of glucose tolerance should be considered when linking microbiota with metabolic diseases such as obesity and developing strategies to control metabolic diseases by modifying the gut microbiota. And I've got article after article listed that says the same thing. One's talking about bacteria and weight, how when you get the good gut bacteria going in your system, you lose weight, which I think I'm proof of. Mm-hmm. It goes on to talk about the recent study about heart disease. Experts in gut microbes at the Department of Food and Nutrition Science at Reading, PA, believe that altering the mix of bacteria in our guts could have a significant effect on cutting risk of the metabolic syndrome, a condition that frequently includes obesity and puts people at increased risk for developing type 2 diabetes and heart disease.
And look, Deb, this makes perfect sense, doesn't it? Because with a poor diet, you're going to be encouraging a poor gut flora and allowing bad bacteria to flourish in your gut, which is going to have a detrimental effect on the body.
We certainly know that a diet high in sugars equals candida for a lot of people.
Absolutely. Well, yeah, so wheat and grains too, though. I mean, even the simple carbohydrates that turn to sugar in your body, that your body will, you know, recognize as energy or sugar, that's going to feed candida. That's why people have cravings.
And so my point is that it's not just a matter of introducing fermented foods, probiotic components into your diet. It's not just that, because you can't ferment a Twinkie and it's all going to be okay. Or you can't keep eating the junk food and the soft drinks and whatever it may be, excessive animal products and whatever, and expect to be able to have a cup of yogurt and it's all going to be all right. What you need to do is have your probiotic foods, your fermented foods, in conjunction with eating a diet that is going to cause that good bacteria to flourish in your gut, right?
Right, right.
And this is something you've been saying for a long time, actually, Dev, is that when you do, particularly with kefir, when you do start incorporating it, it actually changes your taste buds and you crave the sugar less. It's true. I can testify it actually works.
Amen.
That's true. And I got to tell you, I have been sick in my life. I have had periods of time. And, you know, I don't know if I can appreciate someone sitting out there saying, I have been sick for so long. I'm going to the doctor. I'm doing, you know, I'm doing everything my doctor tells me to do. I've got this. I've got that. And they get a kind of like maybe a hopelessness. I hope that we can bring hope to somebody like that.
Yeah.
That it's not that hard to. It's not easy, but it's also not that hard to really, you know, kind of, you know, I always say, maybe I shouldn't say that on the radio, though. Well, you can edit it out, Jono. put on your big girl panties and really just get out there and say, I'm going to do this for me. I'm going to get healthier. And I'm living proof. I'll be 62 in December. And I looked at myself one day and said, there's got to be a time when you do something, or else you're not going to live long. You're not going to enjoy the rest of your life. And we would go to a nursing home and visit, and I would see people in wheelchairs that have had strokes. You could very obviously see a lot of these people had had strokes. And it really just hit me one day. I don't want to end up like that. I don't want to be that. I'm getting older, and I don't want to be a statistic. I don't want to be in a wheelchair, you know, when I'm 65. I don't want any of those things for my life. And I think people can get to thinking there's nothing I can do, and that's not true.
No.
You really can turn around. It's hard. A big old ship, you know, those great, great big ships. They're not easy to turn completely around, but you can do it. It's doable. It's slow, but you just got to stay with it.
So this is the age-old problem, and particularly if your body is not healthy, quite often your mind, and I've experienced this, quite often your mind may not be healthy as well. You may be stuck in a rut of some kind of a depression, and when you are, it's even more difficult, Dev, to penetrate through with the willpower that you need just to do even the simplest things. And what may be a very, very simple hurdle sometimes in people's minds seems like a mountain. And I've experienced this in my teenage years. It just seems like an absolute mountain. And you look at it and you think, it's not necessarily ignorance or lack of information when it comes to dieting and whatever it may be, changing my diet, eating the right things, doing this, doing that. It's just the thought of doing it is so enormous that you can barely bring yourself to start. So when you are starting, you need to do something that is so very, very easy, and yet that small thing that you are doing has to be optimum. It has to be the most efficient. What would you recommend, Dev?
Well, I can only say how I did it. And this is 10 months ago, and I can tell you that 12 months ago I was, you know, very unhealthy, on medications and all kinds of things. And Jono, you're absolutely right. Just the thought of anything can be overwhelming. And that's why I want to encourage people so much that it can be done. And it just takes just baby steps. The very first thing I did, which I now look at as terrible, but it was a start. And it was an okay start. I went to the store. I bought a carton of plain, unflavored, no sugar kefir, which I found out later is actually not, you know, kefir like I'm making now, but it was still okay. I bought a carton of that, and I bought a jar of fermented pickles. They're in the cold case, and they say, you know, that they're fermented and that they have the live probiotics. The brand I bought was called Bubby's, which is a kind of a famous brand here in the United States. And the pickles are wonderful. Bubby makes good pickles. And we bought pickles and kefir, and we took them home, and we said, first of all, you know, can we stand the taste? You know, we didn't know. We liked yogurt, but, you know, was this going to be something weird or different, or, you know, can we stand the taste? And that's where we started, was with one carton of kefir and one jar of pickles.
At the same time, can I just ask you, so you're off to the supermarket, you've got your trolley or what do you call it, a cart?
A shopping cart, yeah. And I like trolley better.
and you decided, your first step was deciding, I understand from what little information we've received, I understand that a probiotic diet is healthier. I need to introduce better bacteria into my system. So I'm going to get some yogurt, I'm going to get some kefir, and I'm going to get some fermented pickles. Now, that's an easy thing to do, to add some things to your cart, right? Was there anything at the same time that you decided I'd best be doing without that?
Oh, yeah. We begin to say, you know, let's leave behind, you know, the cookies. You know, my husband loves chocolate, and, you know, he loves chocolate chip cookies and things like that. So, but we begin to say, you know, for me, they're not good for me. I was the one that was overweight. But even for him, not being overweight, those things eventually will tell. It may take him a lot longer, you know, to suffer ill effects from something like that, but it's still not good. So we begin to slow down on the sweets and the baked goods and the things like that. We started, you know, incorporating a few more vegetables. We both love vegetables, so that wasn't hard, you know, incorporating salads. But I'm going to tell you, at that time, I had no idea that my taste buds were going to change. I had no idea that my cravings for bread, especially, I craved bread. A big slab of bread with garlic butter. Oh, my goodness. I prefer that over cake any day.
I'd forgotten that even existed.
Yeah. It doesn't even sound good to me now. It's like, oh, a nice piece of cardboard with garlic butter. Yeah.
It sounds like, you know, pain and suffering to me now.
Yeah. I'll just take the garlic butter now.
Yeah.
But I had no idea that my taste buds would change. I had no clue that my cravings would start to diminish. Mm-hmm. And you know, as I tried, you know, just simple things, you know, to keep us full. This whole thing has not been about weight loss. My weight loss has happened, you know, in the past. I have always dieted, this diet, you name the diet, I've been on it. Weight Watchers and whatever, all of them. I've done them all. This time, I'm going to throw the diet, the weight loss thing out the window, and I'm going to get healthy. I'm just going to concentrate on that. Amen. Well, boom, I started losing weight. I mean, gosh, probably the first week that we really, you know, determined, we had read the book Wheat Belly, we determined we were not going to eat wheat anymore. I bet I lost 6 or 7 pounds the first week, just, you know, boom, I just lost that weight. Mm-hmm. I didn't retain, I had this gluten sensitivity, so I didn't retain fluid anymore. I noticed the bigger changes, you know, fairly quickly. I'm going to say within 3 weeks, I noticed, you know, major changes, which when you notice those changes, then that really spurs you on to keep going.
That's right. Mm. Yeah, that's exactly right.
It really so
once
does.
Once you are determined, it's obvious, but it needs to be said. Once you have made the determination, the decisions are made in the store. When you've got your shopping cart and you're going up and down the aisle, the decisions are made in the store. I'm not going to buy that. I will get this. And that kind of mentality, Dev, as you've just described, is a mentality that continues on and grows. And as you continue to educate yourself, you continue to alter the way that you eat. And the food or the consumables, as I found out when we first started doing it, we were bringing a lot of things home that weren't necessarily food, but things that we were consuming. Mm-hmm. You start to change little by little, and you become healthier.
And I think having the goal of getting healthy, I think, is really important. Like, you might be overweight, but if you just forget about that and just decide to just get healthy, I think that personally, I just think that that's a better way to start.
Mm.
Well,
I like that.
Every time I've dieted in the past, it was, I didn't really realize it. It was a huge stress in my life.
Yeah.
A huge stressor. And that's like one of the number one things that, you know, almost all articles, you know, talk about is removing stress from your life. Well, goodness me, when you're trying to diet and people around you are eating things, you want it worse. And what a horrible stressor. And for the first time in my life, I've thrown all of that out the window. Not that I'm saying I don't care whether I lose weight or not. That's not true. But that has totally not been on my radar screen, and it's happening anyway.
Yeah.
It's just happening. And it's like, oh, you know, this is the way it's actually supposed to work.
That's right.
You know,
I can testify to that too, Deb. I mean, I actually had no intention of losing weight at all. It wasn't, I mean, I had a bit of extra weight on me. And I mean, I had this gluten intolerance issue and I needed to get healthy. And I've been just concentrating on that. And all of a sudden I've dropped to, I'm back down to my pre-pregnancy weight now, which is, you know, been 7 years. And so, that just happened. I didn't even think about it. It just happened.
So it wasn't as if you set out to go on a weight loss journey or to go on some sort of a diet regime or anything like that.
No, it
it's
never
just
even
that
occurred
you wanted to
me.
Make. You wanted to make choices in regards to what you were eating, that you believed was going to make you healthier, and it had primarily to do with avoiding wheat, gluten, lowering the sugar, getting the kefir going, and the combination of those things, all of a sudden you lost, what, 3 sizes?
Yeah. I mean, I was shocked. I'm still shocked. It just didn't even enter my mind to do this, to lose weight, because I thought, oh, well, this is the weight that I am. And I was, you know, you were not unhappy with the weight that I was. And it was just, you know, it was just the way it was. And all of a sudden it just dropped off. And now I feel so great. Like, I'm just, you know, and I've been exercising, and I've never really wanted to exercise for a long time.
No, but now, Deb, now she's an orange belt in karate, and I live in fear of my life, and I have to hide in cupboards and, you know.
I know. There's three there against you, Jono. You better toe the line.
The three kids and Khani are all...
Don't you worry. He'll be starting soon.
All orange belts in karate. Now, so this is, I was just going to say, just to reiterate, start with a very, very simple thing. If it seems like it's a mountain to you, if it's a really huge thing and you just don't believe that you can do it, if you're listening and you know that you're on, you have been diagnosed with diabetes, or you are in fear that you think it's around the corner, that you know that you're overweight, you may be obese, and you want to do something about it, but it just seems so big. Start with something small. Start with the mentality of what you put in your shopping cart. Just choose one extra thing that you know is going to be healthy for you, and maybe just choose one thing that you usually get that you know is unhealthy, leave it on the shelf. Just one thing. Just begin like that. Because eventually, I believe you will get to a point, if you keep making those decisions, perhaps week by week, fortnight by fortnight, even month by month, if you make decisions in the right direction and stand against the decisions that you know are unhealthy, you're going to get to the point where you know the fast food restaurants, McDonald's, for example, Harney. I mean, now we've come to the point. I mean, we used to have no problem, Dev, many years ago. All of us checking the kids and just having a quick and easy meal at the local hamburger fast food restaurant, right? Now we look at that and we cringe to even think that we go near it and smell what is coming out of there.
I know.
And that's where you want to be. You want not only, I mean, because we've often talked about how it changes your taste buds, how you retrain your taste buds. Well, you retrain your mind as well in the way that you think about what you consume, because what you consume, just because you consume it, doesn't make it food for you in the way that our Father intended food for us. And so you want to be able to, I'm just saying, you will eventually come to a place where you think about the places you used to eat and go, oh.
I know. That's the absolute truth.
I'm glad you said that, Jono, because it's honestly for us has been part of our journey in Torah as well. It's discriminating between what Yehovah has designed for us and what has become of the food industry.
Generally accepted as food just because you can consume it in the Western diet.
I
couldn't agree more, and I'm so thankful that you brought that up, because that's really, you know, the whole premise of what I try to preach or teach or whatever I'm doing to people is the ancient path. You know, what did Yehovah intend for us? And I have to say that if you had ever told me that 10 months down the road that I would not be purchasing anything with a label on it, I would have said, you're nuts. You know, you're crazy. How can you live if you don't purchase something with a label on it? There's nothing to eat. My goodness, there's nothing to eat. And here I am. I don't purchase anything with a label on it. Actually, if it's got a label, unless it's salt or, sugar for the water kefir, I can't think of anything that I buy that has a label, because I purposely am avoiding that. Just before we got together tonight, I looked up how to make my own lubricating eye drops, and there's recipes all over the internet to make sterile lubricating eye drops. So now a lot of people, are not going to go to that much trouble, but that's how much I want to avoid chemicals and, things like that. And so much is doable. Now, would I have done that 10 months ago? Oh my goodness, no. I would have said, that's crazy. I can just go to the store and buy something, but I've changed in so many areas, and it's been a slow, progressive change, in everything in my life, to try to change. I do want to add this, because I thought this was, I found all this information about, that they're really making this gut bacteria diabetes 2 connection. Actually, I don't want to talk about this too much, because I'm not an expert and I don't want to get into it, but there was just as much information saying they are finding the gut bacteria connection with type 1 diabetes. Really? So, you moms out there that are going to be moms, or you're planning on being a mom someday, or you're going to be a mom in a few months, get you some probiotics going in your system for that baby. Because that's going to help on a lot of levels that, we've been reading about and researching about the autism link with the gut bacteria for babies. And it all starts with a good, healthy mama.
Amen.
Yeah. So, but one thing that I want to kind of, close with, because this, I didn't expect to find this, and all that I'm finding about the gut busting bacteria, local scientists say probiotics help you to lose body fat and lose weight and, cut the diabetes risk and da-da-da-da-da. Well, here's a University of Illinois study shows that dietary fiber promotes a shift in the gut towards different types of beneficial bacteria. And the microbes that live in the gut, scientists now believe, can support a healthy gastrointestinal tract as well as affect our susceptibility to conditions as varied as type 2 diabetes, obesity, inflammatory bowel disease, colon cancer, and autoimmune disorders such as rheumatoid arthritis. This is a quote. Unfortunately, people eat only about half of the 30 to 35 grams of daily fiber that is recommended, said Kelly Swanson, a University of Iowa professor. According to Swanson, the shifts in bacteria seen in this study, which occurred when more and differing types of fiber were consumed, were the opposite of what you would find in a person who has poor gastrointestinal health. That leads him to believe that there are new possibilities for using pre- and probiotics to promote intestinal health. A quote, for example, one type of bacteria that thrived as a result of the types of fiber fed in this study is inherently anti-inflammatory, and their growth could be stimulated by using prebiotics and foods that promote the bacteria's growth, or probiotics, foods that contain the live microorganisms.
Mm.
Well, where are you going to get fiber if you're not eating fruits and vegetables that are full of fiber, good fiber?
I was
so excited to even read that fiber enhances probiotics. That was just
amen. It's all connected. It really is.
It's all connected because we're fearfully and wonderfully made. Amen.
That's
amen.
Exactly right. And don't anybody forget, Jehovah, put these wonderful microbes, the lactobacilli, all of the good bacteria that your gut needs. It's in the air, it's on everything, and when you ferment, you're going to get the benefits of all of this good probiotic little guys that Jehovah made to enhance your health. They're in the kefir, they're in yogurt, they're in fermented vegetables, and they're for our good, and they're for our health.
Amen. Amen. And now before we go, I just want to say to the July Juices, the Facebook group, just a shout out to you guys. Thank you for all the recipes and encouragement that you've all been giving each other. And now, Deb, is that Facebook group going to continue on into August?
Well, we might just do it. I tell you what, it's a great group, and everybody's having a real good time with each other and learning and helping each other. The encouragement is amazing, and we tease each other. We have a good time. I'm for keeping it going. I'm almost sorry that I named it July Juicers. it's a really good group of people that are interested in changing their lives for the better.
And that's what you want. And you want to encourage a circle around you of people who want to do that, who's going to encourage each other to do that. That is what we want. So, Deb, thank you. Thank you again for coming back onto Truth to You.
I appreciate you guys so much for, you know, wanting to do this and getting good information out there that we hope people will take to the next step and the next level and find out for themselves.
Amen. And don't become a statistic. If you can avoid it, avoid it. Get healthy. Make even the smallest change. Put one thing in the cart that you haven't had before that you know is healthy. Leave one thing out. And just make those changes, even small changes, because without, as Stephen Tamplin, the naturopath, often tells me, without change, there can be no change, and we don't want to keep going on like that.
I just want to say real quick, one of the things that Doug Kaufman always says, if you always do what you've always done, you're always going to get what you've always got.
Yeah. That's, there it is.
So
there
change.
It is.
Do
so change. Amen. CulturedKaraIyot.blogspot.com. CulturedKaraIyot.blogspot.com is the website. You can also find her on Facebook. Thank you so much, Deb, the Culture Karaite, for coming back onto Truth to You. And Hani, thank you. Until next time, dear listeners, be blessed, be set apart. Be set apart by the truth of our Father's word. Shalom.